In the early 1980s, Texas-born actor Stephen Tobolowsky was living in Los Angeles with his girlfriend at the time, Beth Henley, who was hot off of winning a Pulitzer Prize for her play, Crimes of the Heart. The play's success drew the attention of Hollywood, including director Jonathan Demme, who was looking for his next project after Melvin and Howard. One day, Demme invited Henley and Tobolowsky to a screening at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Theater of a new documentary he was working on. And that is how Stephen Tobolowsky found himself sitting next to David Byrne of the Talking Heads. He had never heard the band.
It was almost an out-of-body experience to hear that music for the first time, from Psycho Killer to Life During Wartime, Take Me to the River, all those songs with David sitting next to me. Because afterwards, all we could do, we went out to eat with David and with Jonathan, and all we could do was just scream, basically, in the restaurant about how great the movie was.
Byrne, however, wanted criticism and feedback. How was the big suit? What about the staging? The discussion led to another meeting, this time at Byrne's house. He had invited Beth Henley over to collaborate on a project, but after a short time, she called Tobolowsky in as well. What Tobolowsky found was typical of Byrne, very idiosyncratic.
There were maybe 100+ drawings on the wall, just pinned to the wall. Pencil sketches and drawings of frames. No script, but just drawings. And David asked, can you turn these pictures into a screenplay?
The two stared at the drawings in silence for hours. Finally, Tobolowsky proposed writing an outline based on the pictures with the idea that he and Henley would write a full screenplay if Byrne felt they were on the right track. The plot of what became True Stories, such as it was about a small town in Texas getting ready to celebrate the state's sesquicentennial.
Right there is a perfect Talking Heads talking point. It is a weird word, sesquicentennial. It sounds like a celebration. Nobody knows what the hell it is.
The structure was loose enough to let the music of the Talking Heads be the driving force behind the picture.
With the sesquicentennial, I said you could have the time capsule, you could have the Shriners and the little cars, you could have a parade, you could have a fashion show, a talent show. You could do all these things linked to the sesquicentennial.
The script was finished in a flash and delivered to David Byrne, and that was that. Months went by with no word from Byrne. True Stories would eventually get made by Byrne with a story that bore a slight resemblance to Tobolowsky and Henley's script. Maybe a dozen or so lines made it into the final picture, along with the basic sesquicentennial framework.
And I think a lot of it was removed for time, and who needs that, and let's get to the next song. And the songs were better than our dialogue or our jokes. So that was, you know, that goes back to the original idea that the songs were going to be the stars.
Watching True Stories today, it looks a little like Byrne took Henley and Tobolowsky's script, metaphorically cut it into pieces and threw it into the air, reassembling the scenes around the songs, and Byrne's own idea of supposing the stories you read in the Weekly World News might actually be real. The resulting film is a sweet and loving celebration of ordinary people and the creations they make, however odd they may be.
If you take a look at the Tobolowsky files and all the stuff I've written since then, there is this kind of celebration of mundane events. And if you take a look at Beth's writing, she always has made the ordinary extraordinary. And if listening to David's new music, he does the same thing in celebrations of making ordinary events absolutely, stratospherically, cosmically unique. It's amazing that we were all sort of psychically on the same page.
But could there be another reason why that's so? A perhaps more hidden story from True Stories is how one of the songs was directly inspired by events in Stephen Tobolowsky's life. Back when he was at Southern Methodist University, Tobolowsky discovered he had a unique talent for decoding others. Some might even call it a psychic ability to divine information from complete strangers, friends, and family alike. Tobolowsky likened it to hearing tones that everyone gives off. Henley took to charging anywhere from 25 cents to a dollar for Tobolowsky to read fellow students' tones. It was the beginning of Tobolowsky and Henley's relationship.
Our living together and our romance blossomed from this, and that was all good. But the more I did it, the more it intruded into my life, and I couldn't stop it. And it became incredibly creepy and scary, and I had no peace. I had no peace of mind, so I tried to stop it. And so I quit doing that.
Tobolowsky told this story about the tones to David Byrne during the process of collaborating on True Stories. One day, Byrne pulled up next to Tobolowsky on his bicycle and invited him over to hear a song. That tune was Radiohead.
Now you and I have no secret. Now, baby,
the song wound up in the movie True Story, sung by Tita LaRiva with Steve Jordan. A decade later, that tune lent its name to one of the biggest bands of the 1990s, Radiohead. Has Stephen Tobolowsky ever met Tom York or any other members of that band?
No, never met those guys, but I tell you, it's on the to-do list.
Given the amazing adventures Stephen Tobolowsky has had in his life, it's only a matter of time before that circle is completed. True Stories was recently released on Blu-ray for the first time from the Criterion Collection, and David Byrne will be in attendance at two screenings of the film in Texas this month. First at Austin's South by Southwest Festival on March 13th, and then on Thursday, March 14th at the Angelica Film Center in Dallas. For Texas Public Radio, I'm Nathan Coe.